Hello, and welcome to the Breakthrough Coaches podcast coaching series entitled Breakthrough Scheduling, Fundamental Practice Number 4. I'm Jill Pankost, Vice President and Managing Partner of the Breakthrough Coach. If you're listening to this session, you're a graduate of our two-day program, How to Work Less, Produce More, and Still Get the Job Done in a Sensible School Week. The purpose of this audio series is to support our alumni in the on-the-job implementation of the two-day program. As with any new program you undertake, challenges will arise. You'll have burning questions for which you'll want answers. You'll come to decision-making crossroads that call for out-of-the-box solutions. And inevitably, breakdowns will happen. This podcast series is designed to support and encourage you in those make-or-break moments, so that you thrive as an administrative team. The purpose of today's session is to teach the school secretary how to build their executive's calendar step by step so that this leadership duo can produce a breakthrough in their time, results, and satisfaction. What I'm most interested in is getting you both down to between a 40 to 50 hour work week while getting your executive into classrooms at least 2 days a week. We believe the secretary is the person who makes the biggest difference to the transformation of the school. The secretary creates the space for the school executive to coach the staff. In order to accomplish this, the secretary's first job is to make the executive's time more valuable by making the executive's time more scarce. That's why the practice of scheduling is key. The following podcast presents TBC's insights into the practices, processes, and disciplines necessary to produce breakthrough scheduling. Secretaries, please use them to produce breakthroughs for yourself and your executive. And a reminder to our school executives, breakthrough scheduling only works when you're willing to keep the promises you made at the two-day program. These include, do what your secretary tells you to do. Do what you say you're going to do when you say you're going to do it. And finally, keep your word with your secretary. So let's begin. The goals of breakthrough scheduling are twofold. We want the school executive out of the office coaching staff 2 days a week, and we want their schedule planned out 6 to 8 weeks in advance. Therefore, the executive's big picture calendar looks something like this. 1. Every minute of their everyday is scheduled. 2. All empty space on the executive's calendar is eliminated. 3. Every scheduled activity is recorded in time. 4. The executive's time is focused on high-impact office work only. 5. The executive secretary team plans in advance for potential breakdowns and how to potentially resolve them. Secretaries, when you handle the breakthrough scheduling process, your executive will be out of the office in classrooms coaching. When the executive attempts to manage his or her own schedule, coaching time never happens. That's why you are so important to the process. Secretaries, managing your executive's schedule is your responsibility, not your executive's. Your executive's job is to tell you what needs to be done. Your job is to say how it's to be done. As secretary, you understand your executive's overarching goals for the organization and their personal life. Your executive's what, combined with your scheduling know-how, is what creates organizational and personal accomplishment. With a secretary's assistance, an executive can brain dump all the projects, tasks, to-dos, promises, agreements, and arrangements from their minds to paper. The secretary can then manage the successful accomplishment of that data by scheduling it in time. Now, before we get to work on the actual calendar, let's reintroduce some vocabulary Malachi presented at the two-day. To start with, executives work in three kinds of days. The first kind of day is called a performance day, or in our lingo, a coaching day. A coaching day is a whole day dedicated to coaching staff, either in classrooms or on campus, simply by walking around. TBC recommends you begin by scheduling 2 coaching days per week. The second kind of day in our school executive's life is called a preparation day, or in our language, an office day. An office day is a day spent preparing for a coaching day. This is time in the office doing paperwork, making phone calls, having meetings, etc., to prepare for their next coaching day. TBC recommends you begin scheduling 3 office days per week. The third kind of day in a school executive's life is a rest day. This is a 24-hour period of time dedicated strictly to rest, rejuvenation, and relaxation. Rest days give the brain a chance to relax and see new possibilities. No business is done during this time, absolutely none. P.S. Executives, on your rest days, carry a pad and pen with you at all times. You'll be flooded with all sorts of new ideas. We are going to begin our conversation for breakthrough scheduling by explaining, quote, scheduling for infrastructure, unquote. Your executive's infrastructure is the confines within which all typical daily actions are recorded and accommodated because they represent the usual manner in which the executive goes about their day. TBC has identified 10 standard infrastructure items. They are 1, arrival time, 2, go home time, 3, lunchtime, 4, the daily secretary meeting, 5, standard weekly meetings, 6, office days and coaching days, 7, coaching time on coaching days, 8, time for office work on coaching days and office days, 9, time for office work on office days, and 10, personal activity time. Infrastructure items are different than the event anomalies that pop up occasionally. Event anomalies are the out-of-the-ordinary, non-reoccurring activities that happen from day to day, week to week, or month to month. However, they don't represent your executive's typical workflow. Scheduling breakdowns arise when an executive's calendar displays nothing but anomalies, with lots of blank space in between. This image doesn't accurately depict how your executive moves through a normal day, and it leads to inefficient use of his or her time. When scheduling for infrastructure, look at the blank space in your executive's calendar, then consider the following. What is my executive actually doing during all those blank space times? It's likely neither you nor your executive has any real clear idea. So we're going to begin breakthrough scheduling by distinguishing your executive's infrastructure in a very purposeful way. We're going to start by 1, clarifying how your executive moves through a normal day, 2, identifying what typically happens during blank space times, 3, reaffirming what is actually happening on the calendar, 4, adding anomalies around permanent infrastructure, and 5, using the repeat event feature to insert permanent infrastructure items into your executive's calendar 6 to 8 weeks out. So let's begin at step 1, scheduling your executive's arrival procedure time. Please turn to page 5 in your scheduling workbook as you follow along with me. 2 questions to consider before moving forward. Number 1, what time does your executive get to work in the morning? And 2, what time do they really start working? You know, after they've hung up their coat, gotten a cup of coffee, said hello, and landed. This period between when they arrive in the building and when they actually sit down to start working is now scheduled in the calendar as the arrival procedure time. We estimate this time at approximately 15 minutes daily, so you want to schedule on the executive's calendar arrival procedure time as a repeating event 6 to 8 weeks out, Monday through Friday, in an early a.m. slot like 7:30 to 7:45 a.m. Part B of step 1, look at the reality of each week. If every Tuesday the executive arrives at 7:45 a.m. but the rest of the week at 7:30, change this one day of a reoccurring event. Making this slight alteration is key. By editing this single occurrence of a repeating event, it demonstrates the overall accuracy of the executive's calendar, rather than simply presenting the calendar as a theoretical idea. So I'll give you a moment to actually set this up. Please pause the podcast here as you schedule your executive's arrival time. Step 2, schedule go-home time. Please turn to page 7 in your scheduling workbook. Let's begin with a basic math problem. Based on your executive's arrival procedure time, what time would your executive need to leave the office to work a 40-hour work week? Most executives leave the office whenever they tire of what they're doing and decide to leave. We're not playing that game here. keeping in mind your executive's goal for total hours per week at work. When does he or she actually need to leave in order to achieve their goal for total hours per week at work? Okay, now similar to the arrival procedure time block, plug in a go-home time block as a repeating event 6 to 8 weeks out, Monday through Friday, in a 15 to 30-minute afternoon time slot. So for example, 4:30 to 4:45 p.m. Scheduling a specific time to go home significantly improves your executive's chances of leaving the office as scheduled. Of course, there will be days your executive needs to leave earlier or later for a special event. Again, approach that day's time accurately, making any specific modifications of the reoccurring event necessary to align with actual events. Please pause the podcast here as you schedule your executive's go-home time. Step number 3, schedule lunchtime. Please turn to page 9 in your scheduling workbook. To ensure a balanced, healthy work situation for both you and your executive, lunchtime needs to be scheduled as a regular part of the daily routine. We recommend a midday break, 30 minutes minimum. So schedule a lunchtime as a repeating event 6 to 8 weeks out, Monday through Friday, in a 30-minute midday time slot. Note our example in the workbook, 12 to 12:30 p.m. Again, examine the reality of each week and make lunchtime modifications where necessary to accommodate meetings, etc. But never omit lunchtime. This is a lifetime habit worth building. You want to maintain the accuracy of the calendar and the physical well-being of your executive. This is how an organization thrives. Please pause the podcast here as you schedule your executive's lunchtime. Step 4. Schedule your daily secretary meeting. Please turn and look at page 11 in your scheduling workbook. The daily secretary meeting happens on both office days and coaching days, and when it's scheduled, the odds of it occurring increase accordingly. Also, the more regularly the two of you meet, eventually the less time each meeting will take. TBC is often asked the question, when is the best time for the daily secretary meeting? In our opinion, the best time is the early morning so you can get set up for your day together. But truly, the only right answer to this question is, whenever you say so, secretaries, it's your meeting. So ask yourself, based on your daily routine and your executive's commitments, when is the best time for my meeting and how long do I need? Then plug the daily secretary meeting into the schedule as a repeating event, 6 to 8 weeks out, Monday through Friday. So for example, you might start with 7:45 a.m. to 8:15 a.m. And again, you may need less time down the road the more consistently you meet, so be open to some adjustments 8 weeks from now. Please pause the podcast here and schedule your daily meeting time. Step number 5. Schedule your executive's standard weekly meetings. Please turn to page 13 in your scheduling workbook. Chances are you already have most of these meetings scheduled on the executive's calendar, but if you're missing any, add them in now. Items to consider when blocking out standard weekly meetings. 1. Does your executive need prep time to get ready for this standard meeting? Where could you schedule that prep time as a reoccurring appointment for the executive with themselves on the calendar? 2. Is there a day of the week that seems best to group all meetings on, back to back if possible? 3. How much time do each of these meetings call for, and how can you as gatekeeper ensure that they start and end on time? 4. If the executive needs to travel off-site to a meeting, have you accounted for their travel time on the calendar, back and forth? Having considered these questions, now plug your executive standard weekly meetings into the schedule at least 6 to 8 weeks out. You can go out farther if you know which meetings are already scheduled over the course of the whole school year. Again, where possible, cluster standard weekly meetings to make these days more efficient. Please pause the podcast here and schedule your executive standard weekly meetings. Step 6, schedule office, coaching, and rest days. Please turn and look at page 15 in your scheduling workbook. If you look at your executive schedule over the next 4 to 8 weeks, you probably won't see any wide open days available for coaching. That's why with this next exercise, we need to get 8 weeks ahead of where you are now. 8 weeks out from now, you'll begin to see plenty of empty days available for coaching. Again, this exercise is going to take a bit more thinking and planning. Looking 8 weeks out, it's now time to sit down with your executive and decide which days each week are going to be his or her two coaching days and which will be his or her three office days. Remember, these days may not follow the same 2-3 pattern every week. That's okay. Schedule office or coaching at the top of each day as a banner no time event. This simply means the words office or coaching show up like a label or heading for the day, but they don't drop down into the calendar in time. A hint here, some scheduling software like GroupWise doesn't allow you to designate banner no time events at the top of each day. In this case, note your types of days, coaching or office, in the tasks list instead. You're going to schedule each day like this 8 weeks out from where you start. Please pause the podcast now and work this exercise through with your executive. Step 7, schedule coaching time on coaching days. Please turn to page 17 in your scheduling workbook. Once you've scheduled your executive's coaching days as banner no time events, then drop down into each individual coaching day and reserve all empty space as coaching time, working around your already existing infrastructure, like your daily meeting, lunch, etc. Large blocks of time should now appear as coaching time. This is the whole purpose of TBC's scheduling methodology. Your executive now has time to wander the halls, observe instruction while the game is being played, coach staff, and evaluate teachers when appropriate. Check out the example of how this could look on page 17 in your workbook. Keep in mind, your executive cannot be in two places at once. You never want to schedule two events side by side on the calendar, even if they're happening at the same time. So, for example, if you have scheduled coaching time and the science fair side by side, the science fair should be moved to the top of the day as a banner no time event with the designated time that it's happening. Now your executive can see that it's happening that day, but it's clear he or she does not have to be in attendance. If he or she did have to stop coaching to be in attendance, then the exact time of the science fair should be evident in the calendar for that day, with coaching time beginning and ending around it, just the way lunch appears on page 17. Again, try to avoid the interruption of coaching time with special events as much as possible. Please pause the podcast here and schedule your executive's coaching time on coaching days. Step 8, schedule office time on office days. Please turn to page 19 in your scheduling workbook. Working in the same time period as in step 7, drop down into each office day and reserve all empty space as office time. Check out how this looks on page 19. In this respect, office time is literally a placeholder. It's code for time being held. These are large chunks of time available to schedule office time activities for your executive. And then as you schedule various office time activities into these placeholder blocks, the blocks get smaller and smaller. We'll get to how this looks on page 21. An added benefit here. When you have an entire week blocked out like this, your district office can't poach your executive's calendar. Meaning, if you have a district-wide calendaring system that allows district office administrator to scan everyone's calendar in the district for a mutual time to call a meeting, when they scan your executive's calendar, they won't find any time available, and they'll have to call you directly to work it out. Please pause the podcast here and schedule your executive's office time on office days. Step 9. Schedule office time activities on office days. Please turn to page 21 in your scheduling workbook. As you identify phone calls, meetings, projects, etc. that require attention and or action by your executive, plug the actual name of the activity into a specific time slot during the office time placeholders. These activities are now time-bound tasks to be done, and the office time placeholders shrink. Look at page 21. When you get to an actual office day on the calendar, these office time placeholders have disappeared entirely. They've been replaced by actual to-do items scheduled in time for your executive to work on. This causes rapid movement in the direction of a 40-hour work week for both you and your executive because your time is finally being honored. Executives, your job in all of this is to manage your integrity. Keep the promise you made at the two-day and do what your secretary tells you to do when she tells you to do it. Please pause the podcast here and schedule your executive's office time activities on office days. And finally, step 10, schedule personal activity time. Please turn to page 23 in your scheduling workbook. Your executive's personal activities should be scheduled on the work calendar as well. Personal activities are those specific activities your executive has agreed to do for rest, rejuvenation, and relaxation. Secretaries, schedule them. Don't leave them to chance. Your executive may or may not have specific activities to schedule right now. They're just getting used to the thought of a personal life. So if none currently come to mind or are on the calendar, schedule personal activity time as a placeholder at the end of each day until specific activities are determined, such as workouts, doctor's appointments, date nights, or errands to run. Please pause the podcast now and schedule personal activity time at the end of each day. Create a personal activities list with your executive for use throughout the year, and remember to schedule these activities 6 to 8 weeks out. In conclusion, 1, stay out in front of your executive's schedule by at least 6 to 8 weeks, and then make time at least once a week in your daily meeting to work together on your executive's calendar 1 week beyond your 6 to 8 week perimeter. 2, never allow your executive to have open office time on the calendar without specific actions to accomplish. We don't want them accidentally milling around in your area with nothing to do. 3, if you begin to run out of things for executive to do, either look ahead to schedule your executive's yearly reoccurring work, like evaluations, or switch office time to coaching time. You may even want to add another coaching day. 4, eliminate side-by-side activities on the calendar. Your executive cannot be in two places at once. 5, give your executive a copy of tomorrow's calendar before leaving for the day. Your executive can be better prepared for the next day if he or she sees what's already been planned. 6, post your executive's calendar out at your desk for all to see. When people come looking for your executive, point to the calendar. Let people know when his or her next coaching day is scheduled. Doing this often has you not be the bad cop, but more correctly, the keeper of the calendar. 7, there will be breakdowns. There will be days when your executive is scheduled to be in classrooms, an emergency parent meeting is needed, or the district office calls, or your executive calls in sick. Don't panic. As you and your executive continue to work together, it will become clearer which breakdowns need to be dealt with in the moment and how to manage them. However, your focus as secretary never changes. You keep your executive's calendar. Do what needs to be done for your executive to be successful. Thank you for listening.